My wife, Heather, and I had the privilege at the beginning of this week to attend a prayer summit with probably about 40, 50 pastors from the North State region. And it happens every year in January, and we've gone for how many years have we probably gone? About 5 or 6 now together? Closer to 8? Yeah. Dell usually goes with us. They were out of town, even though he still gave me a hard time that I didn't tell him about it. But, you know. But it was a wonderful time, And we were very blessed. And what I noticed this time is in the past, it's kind of felt difficult to really move into a time of unity and really praying. It's taken a while. This time, it was like from right off the bat, as soon as we got in there, just felt this unity, and we began to really pray and seek the Lord together. And this is a prayer conference. I know sometimes when people say things are a prayer conference, there's a lot of talking, there's a lot of singing. That's not the case. We come together and we pray. and it's so refreshing, actually, because there's times of just sitting quietly and listening to what the Lord is saying. And this year, the Lord really gave us a heavy, what I would call a heavy word. And I want to share what he put on my heart to share with the congregation from that. And it comes from that. So I know we've been in Romans. We're going to be actually starting out in the book of Ephesians, but other passages of Scripture today. But what he's put on my heart is that, and what he put on all of our hearts, there were two things: that we are in a state of being asleep here in the North State as the body of Messiah, dead, you could say, and we need to wake up. We need to wake up. If we don't wake up, we will lose the blessing of his presence. Not that, you know, we'll lose our salvation. But just like what happened in Ezekiel when Israel decided to continue their idolatry, it says the glory of the Lord departed. And the sad part about that was that most people didn't even realize the glory had departed. You know, that's really sad when you think about it, that all the temple things that were going on, everything that was happening continued like it was before without people even realizing that God's presence wasn't there anymore. I don't know about you, but I don't want that in my life. I don't want to just be doing the same thing that I keep been doing, thinking it's okay, and God's presence not being there anymore. And, you know, sometimes that is how we are. We do it just because that's what we're supposed to do, or maybe that's what we want to do on some level. But it's not because he is telling us, leading us, guiding us, filling us. As believers, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a privilege we have, to be filled with his Spirit. It's also a responsibility we have. It's not just a privilege, it's a responsibility we have. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today. And I've stepped on my own toes as I was preparing this, so I'm sure some toes will get stepped on. I rather that toes get stepped on than this message never be shared. Because I have a responsibility as a pastor, as a teacher of God's word, to share what he puts on my heart. And if I'm quiet, I'm going to be held responsible for being quiet. Father, we pray as we look at your word this morning that it will not be my words that are spoken, but your words, Lord. I pray that you will reveal to us our desperate need to wake up, our desperate need for you. Lord, that you will go deep into our hearts, into our spirits. Lord, leave nothing untouched. And Lord, where we are resistant, we pray you will soften us, break us up, Lord, it says that you are near to those that are of a broken and contrite spirit. When we are prideful, when we are arrogant, you let us stay in that state. You don't force us to be open to you. But Lord, please have mercy on us this morning and open our hearts. Break our hearts, Lord, for you. Show us. We don't want your glory, your goodness, your blessing, the power of your Holy Spirit working in and through us to depart, Lord. We want you here with us. So, Lord, give us your understanding by your Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit this morning, of your word, we pray in Yeshua's name, amen. That was just to wake everybody up there. Awake. A little bit of... And so we're going to be in Ephesians 5:13. And the first thing that I want to talk about is the Lord tells us all throughout Scripture, the Lord tells us to awake. Awake. To wake up. Okay? He's telling us to wake up. Now, this would imply, if he's telling us to wake up, this would imply that we are spiritually asleep, that we need to wake up. And so sleep usually happens in the dark. So if there's a message in God's word for us to wake up, that means we're asleep. And when does sleep usually happen? It happens in the dark, usually, not always. Now, something I was thinking about earlier is, I'm sure all of us have experienced this, where you get awakened from a deep sleep in the middle of the night, and you never quite get awake. Your eyes kind of come up a little bit, and maybe you make your way into the bathroom or whatever, and then you go right back to sleep. I know Heather doesn't even turn the light on, because anytime she turns the lights on, it's going to wake her up, so that way she can go back to sleep. Now, we need that kind of sleep. That's a good thing. But the point that I'm trying to make is sometimes we start to wake up, but it doesn't last. And my prayer is that God will wake us up, and it won't just be a little bit of wakefulness, maybe hear a message, feel convicted, and then a few weeks later go back to what we were doing before. But that we will continue to stay awake. And that takes work, doesn't it? To wake up in the morning, I don't know about you, but for me, it takes work. I have to push myself to get out of bed. I had to do that this morning. I did not want to get out of bed. It was cold. It was comfortable. It was comfortable in bed. It was warm in bed. It was cold outside. And I didn't want to get up. So this is not going to be easy. The spiritual awakening that the Lord wants to do in our life is not going to be easy because, first of all, our flesh doesn't want to do it. Secondly, the enemy doesn't want us to do it. So we're going to have to say, Lord, by your strength, by your power, by your spirit, I'm going to wake up. I'm going to wake up. I'm going to start doing those things that you have called me to do. I'm going to do more, not by my power, not by my strength, but by the Spirit of the Lord. You know, if we've reached a spot where you kind of think, well, I'm doing enough. I'm okay. That's one of the first signs that you're not. That we're not. The church is not okay today. We're not where God wants us to be. If we were, we would see signs. We would see wonders. We'd see people walking through this door, falling on their face before God and saying, and repenting. We would see a change in our community. We would see a change in our nation. We're not even close to being okay today. The Lord wants so much more for you and me than we realize. Ephesians 5:13 says, "But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Now, the reason I started with this when we're talking about waking up is, as I said earlier, sleep usually happens in the dark. So where the light of God is not coming into our individual lives and not coming into the church, people can sleep. It's easy to sleep in the dark. You know, one of the reasons why, you know, there's a lot of churches, sometimes we do this for presentations. You turn the lights down in the audience and, you know, you have lights up front, but you turn the... And anytime I'm sitting out in the audience, I have a hard time, unless it's really exciting, whatever's going on up front, I have a hard time staying awake. You know, it's easy to sleep if it starts to get dark. And I think part of the problem that we have in the body of Messiah today is we've allowed it to get dark. We've allowed it to get dark in our own hearts. We've allowed it to get dark in the congregations. And so in that darkness, you can fall asleep because nothing's being challenged. If my behavior is not being challenged, and I don't mean necessarily by other people, but it may come through other people, we need to be open to hearing what God speaks through our brothers and sisters in the Lord. You know, so many times today, what you have is the moment somebody says something that you don't like, you either get upset with them and chase them away, or you leave. That's what happens in the body of Messiah, in the church today. How many people are church hoppers? They hop from church to church to church. Well, I didn't like what that pastor said. He offended me. How dare he? Or I didn't like what that other person, they looked at me weird. They told me that something I was doing wasn't right. What about what they're doing? What about what they're doing? That has nothing to do. If there's something that I'm doing that isn't right, it doesn't matter how that came to me. It might have come from a bum off the street. But if God is convicting me through what they're saying, I need to listen to what God's saying. I need to change what's wrong with me. Sure, you can find other things. Sure, we can come up with excuses. And that's how we stay in the dark. We keep justifying our sin. All of us do this on some level. That's why I said I was stepping on my own toes. So some of the things that we hide, what are some of the things that we hide in the dark? Let's look at this. Sin, number one. Psalm 66:18. The psalmist says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. That is a very short verse, but it is a very important one. If I know there's sin in my heart, the Lord's not going to hear my prayer. You get this idea of a parent that has already told their kid what to do. And their kid knows what they're supposed to do, but they're still going, can I do such and such? Can I do... They've already heard it. So you tell them how many times? Maybe once, twice, maybe three times. And then you ignore them. Till they get it. Oh, I better go do that. The Lord does that with us. We're His children. If you already know something is sin, there's no need to ask the Lord whether it's sin or not. Remember, actually, that kind of plays into the Torah portion. That one part, I don't know if you caught it, where the Lord had told them to trust Him, had told them to get ready and cross over the sea, and Moses is still crying out and going, Lord, what do we do? What do we do? And the Lord's like, stop crying out to me and go. Move. Move forward. There's times that God has already given us the direction. But see, if we have sin in our heart, we're not going to hear clearly. We're not going to hear because if we have sin in our heart, He's not going to be talking to us till we get that right. Maybe you have, and I'm not saying this is always the case, okay? Don't get me wrong. But you may have, and I may have, some problems that I'm struggling with in my life that God isn't answering my prayer until I do what He's told me to do. That could be holding me back. So that's one of the areas, is in the dark, we can hide our sin. In the dark. In fact, it says in Scripture that usually when people do things that are wrong, they do it in the dark. Now, this is funny, but not funny. It doesn't matter how much we understand that God can see in the dark, just like it is in the day, we still seem to want to sin in the dark. You ever notice that? God can still see us. We're not hiding anything from Him. I've heard, don't know if this is true or not, that Ramadan, the reason why they fast all day and then they party all night is because Allah can't see them in the dark. Those affirming this. Well, that's not my God, because my God can see in the dark. Sin is one of the things we hide. Sometimes in the dark we hide God-given gifts and talents, things that God has given us to share with the rest of the body, to edify the body. But we decide to hide it instead. Remember Matthew? I'm not going to read this whole thing because it's really long, but I'll give you a paraphrase. In this parable, it said there were three different people that were given talents. The first was given like five, the second two, and one of them was given one talent. And the one who was given five, he went out and he made five more. He worked with it, he invested it, and he made five more. The one that was given two invested it and made two more. But the one person that was given one talent, when the master came, he had buried that talent in the ground. And he gave the one talent back to the master, and he says, I know you were a hard man. You expected to reap where you hadn't sowed. And he goes on and on. And he gives the master the one talent. And the master says to him, you are a wicked servant. You could have at least put it in the bank, and then I would have gotten it back. I would have gotten it back with interest. But instead, you took it and you hid that talent. Now, we may have gifts from the Holy Spirit. We may have talents that God has given us. We may have, and I know the talent there is talking about money and stuff, but we may have things that God has put in our life that is supposed to be shared with the body. But are we doing that? Or are we hiding it like that wicked servant? Are we hiding it? And you know what? You don't always know your talent or the gift that God has given you. There's times when we need to be seeking Him and saying, Lord, is this a gift? I did not have a gift talking in front of people. I didn't grow up with this. I was scared to death to talk in front of people. I would get up and my hands would shake like this. Still does when I'm not preaching. When I'm just talking, I'm nervous. It was not a Sam talent. This was something God gave me to do. He's the one that gave me the power and the ability and the gift to speak. I thought it was going to be worship. I'd written songs. I can still play. I still have songs. God started to give me that little by little back. But you know what? That had become a source of pride. I was very proud of being able to sing and write songs. And basically the Lord took that away and gave me something else that I was scared to do that He knew I would rely on Him completely for, because, or at least mostly for, because I was scared to death to do it. So there might be a talent and a gift that God has given you, but because if you're not letting the light shine, if you're not awake, you don't get that gift. It's there. What about our fears? We hide our fears. We don't want anybody to know our fears many times. In fact, sometimes we say some other fear that's really not our real fear. We hide them because we don't want to be vulnerable. In the dark, fears can stay hidden. But guess what? If you have that fear, you are in bondage to it. And if you let the light of Yeshua shine into your heart, you let other people pray for you, you can be free from those fears, whatever they may be. Those things holding you back. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So these are another thing that we hide in the dark is our ego, our pride. Pride can survive in the dark. When it gets exposed, when we get humbled, that's when that comes out. Some of us are so afraid of getting embarrassed or getting humbled. Why? Because we got so much pride hiding in the dark. We don't want anybody to touch it. And that's exactly what God's going to do when his light shines. Expect that he's going to humble us. And that's a good thing. Because you know what? We have an enemy, Satan, Satan, the accuser, and it all started with his pride. That is the thing that led to the fall of Satan. He used to be Lucifer, one of the archangels, and he fell because of his pride, thinking he could be like God. Now, maybe you don't think you can be like God, but you know, pride manifests itself in lots of ways. Pride can be very obvious, very, you know, we've all met arrogant people, people that just, you're like, ugh. You know, you talk to them and you're like, oh, man. You know, the stuff that coming off of them are just like, wow, sorry I got even work anywhere close to you. But there's also the opposite of that. There's people that can't look you in the eye and they're like, oh, I'm just the worst person in the world. And what do they want? They want their egos lifted up by you. Oh, no, you're not that bad. You're good. There's like, stop being so hard on yourself. That's what they want to hear. That is called false humility. The whole purpose of going, how horrible I am, I'm just so horrible. I'm not talking true repentance. True repentance doesn't walk around like that. And true humility doesn't walk around going, I'm so horrible. True humility is from the Lord. True humility says, you know what? I'm a sinner. None of this is about me, it's about him. But because it's about him, I can boast in him and his power and his strength and his spirit working through me. My confidence comes from him. That's true humility. But you know, so many times in the church, you either see one or the other, right? You see the pride, or you see the beating themselves up all the time, saying bad stuff about themselves so that people will say good things about them. That's both pride. It's all pride. So our egos, we like to hide our egos. We don't want anybody to touch it. We certainly don't want anybody to step on it. It's another thing we like to hide in the dark, our faith. Matthew 10, 32 through 33 says this, every man who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will also disown before my Father who is in heaven. This was probably one of the things as I was reading this, and not saying that these other things, these are all problems that we all struggle with, but this one especially, I really heard the Lord say, why don't you talk more about me? I mean, I talk about him, you know, every Shabbat and every Sunday, but why don't you talk more about me to people who don't know me? Why don't you share your faith more? Why don't you let people know what you believe more? What are you afraid of? And the darkness allows us or keeps us from being able to share our faith. So if we're asleep, we're hiding these things, our sin, our God-given gifts, our fears, our egos, and sometimes even our faith. Therefore, he says, this is what the Lord says to us. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Messiah will give you light. That's where our light needs to come from the Lord. But he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead. I want to hear this from the Lord, because that the Lord is even saying this means there's still hope. That's one of the things that he really made clear to us as pastors when we were together, because the first one was really heavy. The glory is departing. It's not just going to depart. It's already departed. It's already moving away. Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit within each one of us. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about collectively, as a body, as a church, as a congregation, as a community of believers. The glory has already departed from Northern California. If it was here, it wouldn't look like this. It's already departed. It's been departed for a while. But God is saying, awake. Which means there is hope for us. Because he wouldn't be telling us to wake if it was over. Does that make sense? There wouldn't be any reason to tell us to wake up. But his desire, his longing, is for us to awake. Whatever that means to you this morning, let the Lord speak to you through his Spirit. He wants us to wake up. Maybe you've never even received the Lord. Today is the day to receive him, to accept him, to receive the presence, his presence in your life. See, that's what the Lord always wanted. He didn't want just a tabernacle or a temple where there was still all that separation. Which is why when Yeshua died, the temple veil was torn from top to bottom. It was torn. The way was made accessible to the very presence of God the Father. Because that's always been his desire, is to have that kind of connection, that kind of relationship with you and me. And that's what has been made possible through the sacrifice of Yeshua on the cross. That's what's been made possible, is that we can now have that close relationship with God. And in fact, later on, Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, he says, we are tabernacles, we are temples of the Holy Spirit. And he says, we need to take care of this temple. That's part of that waking up. We're not talking necessarily health and all that, although that's important too. But we're talking about taking care of this temple, not allowing sin to reside there, not allowing darkness to reside there. Awake. The word awake in the Greek is egiro. Egiro. I'm not very good at Greek, but anyways. To waken, to rouse literally from sleep, from sitting or lying, from disease, from death, figurative, from obscurity, inactivity, ruins, non-existence. To awaken, that's what God wants us to do. Now, signs that we are asleep. Because maybe some of you are going, well, how do you know we're asleep? Why do you think we're asleep? Sorry, had all sorts of fun stuff going on. To wake up! Signs that we are asleep. See if anybody's actually really asleep. Oh, anyway. Signs that we are asleep. Number one, thinking that we are okay. Number one, thinking we're okay. Let's look at Revelation 3:1. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. That's what he says. You think you're alive. You got a name, but you are dead. You are dead. Number one, if you ever start to entertain the thought that you've arrived, that you're okay, that you don't need to do anything else, that you don't need to get closer to the Lord, that is a sign of asleep, being asleep, falling asleep. Because guess what? When I'm asleep, I'm totally fine. unless I'm having a bad dream or something. I'm not worried about anything going on. I'm asleep. Sometimes it's hard to go asleep, isn't it? Hard to get asleep. But once you're asleep, you're, as it said, dead to the world. Well, we need to be dead to the world and alive, awakened in Christ, in Messiah. We need to be dead to the world, the flesh, sin, and alive to Messiah. Now, apathy, a second one, apathy towards the things of God specifically. You know, when I went down to the prayer conference, I came in with a sense of apathy. That was intentional. The Lord was showing me my apathy. You know, when you feel those things, when you feel the sense of apathy, or you feel pride, or you feel, the thinking you're okay, don't ignore those things. Because sometimes that's the Lord going, this is where you're at. This is where you're at. I'll give you an example. When God had done a really incredible work in my life in 1998, and I had had a revelation of His chesed, His grace, more than I had ever understood before in my life. And I understood that truly it was unmerited favor. There's nothing I could do to make myself more righteous. We especially need to hear that in the Messianic movement. There is nothing you and I can do to be more righteous than what Yeshua has already done for us. If you're coming to hooray Yeshua, going through the motions to be more righteous, it is doing nothing to make you more righteous. It's not helping at all. Righteousness comes from Yeshua and His work alone. It's the holiness that we need to be working on. What is holiness? Being set apart to the Lord. Holiness is the part we have a choice in. Righteousness, the choice we have is to trust in Him. And He makes us righteous. But holiness is a process. And it's a process of continued repentance and surrender and changing the way we walk and starting to walk in the right way. That's a continued process. I got parts in my life that are still not very holy. You're like, oh, Pastor Sam. So do you. And those are the parts that are still in the dark. And so, apathy towards the things of God. Signs that we are asleep. Fruit of the Spirit not seen in our lives. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, goodness. I'm probably going to miss one. Self-control. Those are things that should be evident in the life of a believer. That's fruit that we should see in each other. And when that's not there, that's a sign that we are asleep. That's a sign that there's a problem. I'll tell you what. I'm not going to pick on my wife with this one. I'll pick on myself. But if somebody wakes me up, I don't like to be woken up out of a deep sleep. You ever been really cranky when somebody woke you up out of a sleep? The one I'm really cranky in is when I'm asleep in my chair in the living room. And one of the kids decides they're going to take that moment to make a loud noise or yell or make something that they didn't have to do. And I'm like, will you guys stop? And Heather usually tells me, why don't you go lie down in the bed? Get out of the living room. You're setting yourself up to get cranky and upset because they're going to make noise. But the fruit of the Spirit, how many times do we not respond with love? How many times do we have a lack of joy going on in our life? That's fruit. That should be there all the time. Love, joy, peace. How many times do we lose our peace? We start to worry and be anxious over things that we don't need to be anxious over. Now, if you're not asleep, you recognize that and you confess it and you make it right. The problem is when it goes on and you don't even notice. That's the sleep. And we see that many times within the church, within the body, within the congregation, within the synagogue of Yeshua. We see that apathy, that fruit of the Spirit is not there. Gifts of the Spirit not seen in the church or in the congregation. You know that word church is from ekklesia, which means congregation, which that word in the Greek was also used for synagogue. So if, you know, there's people in the Messianic movement that get all upset when they hear the word church. We don't go to church. We go to shul. We go to synagogue. Hebrew, Greek, it's the same word crossing over. Let's just give it a rest. All right? Church, shul, gifts of the Spirit. Not seen. Where are the gifts of the Spirit? Where's the gifts of the Spirit here at Hare Yeshua? Are we scared of them? We might get charismatic. You know, those are all words that have been invented in the last 50 to 100 years, most of them. I want the gifts of the Holy Spirit flowing freely through me and through this congregation. I want everything that the Lord wants to give us. We're not limited by some denominational affiliation or whatever. Guess what? A Southern Baptist church, we're part of the Southern Baptist Association in this area. We're autonomous. You know what that means? We can worship the Lord any way we want. As long as we stay within the basics of the gospel, we're not held back by any denominational thing, any of that. And even if we were, I still wouldn't do it. I'd do what I felt the Lord telling us to do. That's what we need to do as individuals and together as a congregation. Let the gifts of the Holy Spirit work. And you know what? There's a whole bunch of other gifts that we're ignoring because we're afraid of a few of them. You might be afraid of the gift of tongues. It's weird. So you're afraid of that. So what? You don't do any of the others either? We throw out the gifts of the Spirit because of being afraid of one maybe being manifest and scaring people off or looking weird or whatever. We don't do any of the others? No, this is the problem. When you're asleep, when we're asleep, the gifts of the Spirit are not evident in the body. Because guess what? You can't function with the power of the Holy Spirit if we are still asleep in our sin. Struggle with besetting sin, speaking of sin. Sign that we are asleep. Struggle, continued struggle with a particular sin, or maybe multiple sins. Usually sin breeds sin, have you ever noticed? If you do something really bad, you have to lie about it if you're going to keep it in the dark. So now you've added to the sin. Struggle with an ongoing struggle with besetting sin. That is a sign of being asleep. Because if we were awake, we would identify it. We would see it. We'd go, oh, that's not right. We'd be able to confess it to the Lord and make it right. Here's another one. This is just a few of the signs. Lack of spiritual growth. Staying at the same, in the same place spiritually in your relationship with God. No growth going on. Now I realize growth takes a while to see. You know, in some cases it goes up really fast. Some cases it's slow and steady. But if there's no real growth happening, then that's not good. That's a sign that possibly you're asleep. And or the congregation, the body of Messiah is asleep. New believers, few and far between. This one really convicted me once again. New people coming to know the Lord. You know, people are not attracted to death, usually, unless they're emo or something. Usually not attracted to death. People are attracted to life.
And so if they see life, they're going to be attracted to what's going on. They're going to want to be a part of it.
Where there's death, where there's apathy, where we're asleep, nobody, why should I show up to church where they're asleep? I can sleep at home. I think that's one of our biggest issues we have. Why do we need to go to church? Nothing happening there. If I need church, I can listen to somebody on the TV. I can listen on the radio. I don't need to show up with other believers. I can get on the internet if I wanted that, but they're not doing anything different. I can just be asleep at home. Ever felt like that? I felt like that before. Why even show up there? I'm the pastor. But the thing is, there's times that you feel that way. It's the same. Well, it's the same. Maybe it's the same because we're asleep. And God wants desperately, He wants us to say, I want to wake up. That's what we started to pray for. Because, you know, we pray so many times for things that we want. You know, Mike touched on that. Again, I love how Torah portions. You know, we're praying many times. We want meat. We don't want your manna. We've had manna, 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 manna. Now we want meat. God says, fine, you want meat? I'll give you so much meat, in a month it'll be coming out of your nose. And I think the Lord likes to do that with us sometimes too. Why, sure, you want that? That's really what you want? Here, I'll give it to you. We'll see how much you're satisfied with that. And instead of doing that, we need to be praying and asking the Lord for the things that are on His list, the things He wants to happen. See, when it says, ask and you will receive, that's not a standalone verse. There's a context to that. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. There's a context to that. That's not just about, well, I got my list and my things that need to be handled. God, I have a back problem. I need you to fix that. I have this. I have that. I have this. You know, He must get so sick of that. Just think about that for a second. Us just giving Him a list of things we want and not paying any attention to what He wants. Why aren't we praying, God, wake me up? Want a prayer? That's a prayer God will answer. We're afraid of that one, aren't we? He might actually answer. We might have some responsibility. It's great to come listen to somebody talk. I want to hear a good message. But what do you do with it? Do we apply it to our lives, or do we just go home and we forget? We drowned ourselves in all the other stuff again. I even do that. And I'm the pastor. Sometimes I forget what I just preached. Ask my children. Ask my wife. Don't ask them. They might tell you. But see, that's just it. We need to wake up. Why aren't we saying instead of, Lord, heal me, Lord, wake me up. Change me. Do your will. Have your will in my life. If that is healing, great. But first and foremost, I want to be more like you. I want to be filled with you before I get all these other things. Because the quail will not satisfy me. It's only your word. It's your spirit. It's the manna that will satisfy. It's the manna that is always there, always available. You need to be seeking Him. Lord, what's your will for me? What's your will for my life? And don't expect Him to lay out a 5-year plan. He might give you a glimpse of the direction that you're finally going to go. But it's up to Him to get us there, not us. We've tried before. My wife and I, we were told before we got married. 6 kids, which we have. and that we would live in Israel. And we've tried that second one ourselves before. Hasn't worked. In fact, when we were trying really hard, we ended up moving the other direction. Like, Lord, we're not moving towards Israel. I thought we'd move east from here, not west. And then again, further west. So now we're here. But God has a plan. And our responsibility is to trust Him and take the step one step at a time as the Holy Spirit is leading us. But if we're asleep, we can't do that. And we get all confused. Have you ever tried to wake up and go somewhere really fast after you were just sleeping? Maybe for some of you younger people, that's still easy. The older you get, the harder that gets. And, you know, I find myself in the middle of the night, I have to get up and I'm holding on to this wall and holding on to this and trying to open my eyes. And finally, I can see a little bit. I have to turn the light on, otherwise I can't function. I told them that you like to keep the light off when you go out. Okay, I didn't know if you were here. So, what do we need to do if we see these signs of sleep? Maybe some of these things, maybe it's something else that God put on your heart. Maybe some of this, these signs of sleep have definitely resonated. You feel this way, you experience it, you see it in the church. Now, here's the thing, if you see it in other people, it's probably doubly in yourself. Because, you know, when I was calling out to the Lord a few weeks ago about the apathy in the church, the Lord says, yes, what about yours? You're apathetic. And I had to ask forgiveness. I had to say, Lord, please keep me. I don't want to be apathetic anymore. I don't want to stay asleep. If we see these signs of sleep, we should request and allow the light of Messiah to expose the things hidden in the dark. That's number one. We should request and allow. Request is very important. You know, I love this about the Lord. You know, the enemy, he doesn't wait for our request to do stuff, does he? The enemy just comes in there and forces stuff. That's the way he is. He attacks forcefully. He tries to attack us all the time. The Lord does not push His presence on us. The Lord does not make us follow Him. Remember what Yeshua said? If anyone wants to be my disciple, He doesn't say, I'm making you my disciples. I'm going to make you follow me. I'm going to make you go through the suffering that I went through. He doesn't say that. If anyone wants to be my disciple, they must deny themselves, take up the cross, and follow me. If anyone wants to deny themselves, that's the way the Lord works. So you and I, if you want to wake up, if you want to wake up from the sleep, the Lord's not going to force you to wake up. He may tell you to wake up. He may shout. He may yell because He doesn't want us to stay asleep. But He's not going to force it. So we have to request. Request and allow the light of Messiah to expose the things hidden in the dark. And you know what? What's the light of Messiah? Well, His Holy Spirit and His Word. The Word of God exposes the darkness that we have inside. The Torah, God's law, shows us that we're breaking it, shows us our sin. You know, remember what we talked about a few weeks ago. The Lord said, it's not too hard. Moses said, it's coming from the Lord. He says, the things that the Lord is giving you, the Torah, God's law, is not too hard for you to do. It's not like God is telling you to ascend into heaven or to go down into the pit of hell. It's right there in your heart. It's faith and trust in God that you can do those things by His power. He will give you the strength. If God has asked us to do something, if He's asked us to live a certain way, He will give us the ability to do that. And if you find it hard to do it, then request strength. Request help. Remember what James says? If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to everybody liberally. He's not holding back. He wants to give us wisdom. But you and I have to ask. And to ask, we have to actually realize we need it. Got to wake up. So request and allow the light of Messiah. Acknowledge those things that show we are asleep. You know, that's probably one of the hardest things to do, to say, yeah, you know what, I'm asleep. But once you humble yourself, it gets easier. Humble yourself again, it gets easier. You let God keep humbling you. It gets easier. Pretty soon, you don't even want the pride anymore. That's really cool. You just let God humble us and humble ourselves before Him. It's a great way to live. It's a freeing way to live because you're not worried about what people are thinking about you anymore. What's your concern is the relationship with God. If this is good, this will work out according to His will. If my relationship with God is where it needs to be, but you don't like something I'm doing, tough cookies. Because if I'm doing what God wants me to do, that's the most important thing. Now, it doesn't mean that we're mean to other people. It doesn't mean we're arrogant about that. You know, there's been times where I felt like somebody was telling me, well, you should do this. And inside you want to go, well, God told me to do this. Well, if I have that attitude, that's the wrong attitude. I don't need to defend what God told me to do. Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing with me how you feel. I'll pray about it. And there's been times I prayed about it and God said, yeah, you know what? They're right. You need to do that. So I had to humble myself and do it. What's wrong with that? Nothing. It just hurts our pride. Acknowledge those things that show we are asleep. And then repent from them. Turn from them. It's one thing to acknowledge and go, yeah, that's right, I have that problem. And then go right back to it. Remember what James says? It's like looking in a mirror, seeing how bad you look, and walking away and completely forgetting. You might think I do that in the morning. I don't. I actually try. Sorry, I try. But looking in the mirror, seeing that you need to brush your hair, seeing that you have smudges on your face, seeing other stuff, I won't get too gross here, but you know, seeing a problem and going, walking away and going, eh, no big deal. And then we get so offended, don't we, when other people see it. They point it out. Our pride gets offended. Well, if we were looking in the mirror and doing something about it, to begin with, we wouldn't have that problem. Doesn't that make sense? If I actually paid attention, if when I saw my sin, I repented of it, guess what? God wouldn't have to use other people to help me to get there to repent. This is how, you want to know how leaders in the church, people who have been believers for a long time, end up falling into gross sin, what we would call gross sin. All sin is gross. But bad sin, sin that we go, it's because they look in the mirror, they see there's a problem, and they forget about it. Or they're not even looking in the mirror. And after a while, crocodile. After a while, you don't even know there's a problem. I was at that point when God showed me His grace. I was at that point. And after God revealed to me
how much he loved me and his passion and his grace, he started to reveal my pride. He started to reveal those things I was doing that I thought were okay, that weren't. And how far away from him I had gone. Because I thought everything was okay. I was asleep. So repent. Turn from them. Not just turn from them anywhere, but turn from them to the Lord. Ever seen people, they stop drinking and they start smoking. It's not what God is telling us to do. Repent is not repent from one sin and do one that's not so bad. You have a really nasty sin that nobody likes, and so you stop doing that one and you do one that's socially acceptable. No, that's not repenting. That's trading one for another. God says, no, repent and turn to me. Stop sinning. This is the answer. This is what we need to be doing. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Ephesians 5, 13 through 16. Walk circumspectly. You know what that is? That's exactly. That's what that word means. Perfect, diligently. To walk diligently in a way that is constantly looking at, beholding, perceiving, regarding, taking heed of where we're at. Circumspectly means we're always going, Lord, where am I at with you? Is this what you want? Is my heart in the right place? Do I have the right attitude? This takes being awake. Once again, you can't be asleep in doing this. We have to be awake. We have to be seeking God and going, Lord, do you want me to do something else? You want me to act differently? Is my response right? I'm sorry that I responded that way. There's confession that needs to be constantly going on. Repentance. But then doing something about that, continuing to walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. The word for unwise is asaphos. The word for wise is sophos. That makes sense, doesn't it? Asaphos means unwise or a fool. Sophos means wise, applying godly wisdom. You and I need to take the word of God and apply it. Godly wisdom applied to our lives. Do you and I live like we really believe the word of God? Or the good news, the gospel? Do we live that way? Let's talk about redeeming the time. This is really going to step on my toes. Maybe yours too. Redeeming the time. What time do we need to redeem? Leisure time. TV, live or streaming. Computer, social media, video games, recreation. What about all the time that we spend on those things? You know, I look at how many episodes I've watched last year of something. And I'm amazed. You know, there's an episode of something 40-something minutes long, and we've watched 200 of them. Multiply that. Some of you are saying, well, I don't watch TV, Pastor Tam. You know. What about the other stuff then? Your recreation. Video games for some of you younger people. And that goes all the way up to 30 or more anymore. Some of you are still playing video games and you're 60-something. Our computer time. Our social media time. How many times do we get up and the first thing we do before we even pray is see who said what on Facebook? Or what's happening in the news? Guess what? If we don't spend that time with the Lord, then yeah, there might be something bad that happened. There might be other stuff. There might be, and we're not going to be prepared for it. We're not going to have our hearts focused in the right way. And you know, is it really that important? They didn't used to be able to even do that. 100 years ago, you had no clue that there was an earthquake until like maybe a month later, 2 weeks later, an earthquake in China. Or even Alaska, for that matter. But now we're like, we're addicted. I got to know everything. I got to know it before that other person so I can post it on Facebook before they do. I got to get it out there first. I'm the first to know. Who cares? Knowledge of good and evil. Knowledge of good and evil. Does that ring a bell? And we're still doing that today. We're still trying to acquire that knowledge. Leisure time. Redeeming the time. This is a huge one. If we started redeeming leisure time, we'd have so much more time. Doesn't mean don't have any fun. I'm not saying that. But discipline, fruit of the Spirit, self-control. I'm only going to spend this much time doing that, and then I'm going to take this time to do this. I'm going to spend more time with my family. I'm going to call people I haven't talked to and see how they're doing and pray with them. I'm going to spend more time with the Lord. I'm actually going to read the Word of God. I'm going to study it. I got time right here. Tons and tons of time. What happened? Family time. Are we redeeming these times? Dinners. Talking. Family Bible reading together. And prayer. We need to be taking time with those we love. If you are by yourself, then do that with the Lord. Find other people who are believers. Get together with them. Make your dinner time actually a time of blessing for your family. You know, there's been many times where dinner time has turned in, what TV show can we watch as we're eating? Because we don't really have a table that we can all sit around in our house. Our house is small. We got lots of stuff in it. Not a lot of room. But that doesn't mean we have to turn on it's streaming, it's not TV anyways, but we have to turn that on. We can talk. We can share. Making some of these changes, if you're already doing it, great. Personal time. The books we read, once again, social media, Bible reading. Are we reading the Word? Are we praying during our personal time? You know, I've had to take my personal time that in our minds we're like, well, this is my time. It's my time. God has His time. This is my time. No, it's all God's time. It's all God's time. Now, you can say, work has this time, and this is my time. You can say, the church has this time, and this is my time. God and the church are not synonymous. God and the congregation. I had a pastor one time that tried to get me to put the church as priority number one, because it was like God. I'm like, no, it isn't. The church, the congregation, is not God. God is God. And in our life, in our relationship, we need to understand that. We need to have priorities. God comes first. If you are married, your spouse comes second. If you have children, they come next. Then from there on, after that, in my case, church would kind of come next because it's also my job. But if you work somewhere else to provide for your family, that's next. You got to work. Then maybe the congregation, recreation. You can put other things in place there. But there's a clear area of priorities that we need to keep. And when those things get out of line, then our life gets out of line. Our life gets out of control. The Lord needs to be number one in every time, personal time or whatever. We got more times here. Work time. Are we diligent in our work? Do we have a reputation for integrity? Are we a good witness? I'm not saying, you know, like spend hours, go over on your lunch. Well, I was reading the Bible, so if you fire me, you know, you're going against God. No. Get back on time. Get back to work. Do what you're being paid to do. That's going to be pleasing to God. You know, sometimes we use the Sabbath excuse. Because we're just so righteous. You know, I had I'll tell this story really fast because we're kind of almost out of time. But there was a young man who was going to, I was a youth leader in a Messianic congregation in Denver. I won't tell you which one. But anyways,
because there's a lot of them now. So, but we were there, and this young man was told by people in our congregation, his dad wanted him to stay home on Saturdays. His dad was Jewish. He was Jewish. Stay home on Saturday and help him. You know, and so there were people in the congregation. His dad was not a believer. He was a believer. But there were people in the congregation that said, oh, no, you need to tell your dad that you have to go to shul on Saturday and you need to, this will be okay. Yeshua is going to support you if you take this stand against your dad. And I said, no. I said, it says, honor your father and mother. That's what I told him. I said, you know what? If your dad asks you for help, you need to go help him. And trust that God will make it so you'll be able to come back to shul if that's what God wants you to do. But I said, how is your dad ever going to come to know the Lord if you're disrespecting him like these other people are telling you to do? And he did it. So he followed what his dad told him to do. He worked. 2 weeks later, his dad said, I don't know if it was because it was bad work or what, but his dad said, you know what? You need to go to shul. I know it wasn't that because the kid was a hard worker. He was good. But his dad said, I think you should go. Because he had a good attitude. He was helping his dad. And his dad found another way that he could still help him, but he could still come to the congregation. And God answered the prayer. That's how we need to approach it. Not this, well, I have my rights. No. We do what we have to do to support our family. We do what we have to do to reach our family. And you pray and you ask God. Now, that doesn't mean you can't request it. That doesn't mean you can't say, I'd really like to have Saturday off. I'd really like to have Shabbat off. And most bosses today will honor that. But if you have somebody who says, well, I really need you to, you know, then start praying that God changes their heart. And he will. By faith, trust, and believe that he will. Because if that's what God wants and you're giving it to him, don't you think he will act on our behalf? Of course he will. So work time, diligent, ministry time, service, mission work, sharing our faith, teaching and being taught by the word. There's times that all of us, now some of us do more ministry, we're doing it all the time or whatever, than others. But every single one of us has an opportunity. And this is how you can fill in some of the other time. There's always service and mission work that needs to be done. But we need to redeem this time as well. When's the last time you shared your faith with somebody? We need to think about those things. Moving on. We're almost done. This is the last one. Walk circumspectly. How do we walk circumspectly? I also call this beyond repentance, because so many times we talk about repentance and then we stop. We stop talking of what comes after that. A whole lot comes after that. We shouldn't be stuck in just a cycle of sin and feeling guilty about it and being acknowledging it and repenting of it, and because that's not true repentance, is it? That's just asking forgiveness. And then going back to the sin again. Repentance means you stop, and somebody explained it kind of like a figure eight. Okay, so, except for the part that goes back down again. If you're going in this circle, instead of continuing to go in the circle, when you get to this place, you repent, and you get out of that endless circle, and you start doing the things God wants you to do. That's what we need to do. We need to get out of that circle. Okay, so first of all, walk circumspectly. What's the first thing? This is going to sound like a cliche, but this is absolutely has to be happening. Prayer. Ask the Lord to wake us up. I think that's number one we need to be doing. Saying, Lord, wake me up. Wake me up in all those areas that I might be asleep. Shine your light. And ask him to give us a hunger for him, for himself, and his word. Lord, wake me up and make me hungry. When I get up in the morning, when I finally wake up, I get hungry. I've been fasting all night.
And when you wake up spiritually, you will be hungry. When I woke up spiritually in 98, that God woke me up, I requested it, I asked it, but it was kind of a feeble. It was kind of like, God, please wake me up. He still heard it, and he woke me up. Guess what? I had a hunger for his word. I spent 2 months reading, studying, and it was coming alive to me because of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, showing me things in his word. I would not be standing in front of you now doing what I'm doing if that hadn't happened. Don't know where I would be. Don't even know if I'd still be married if God hadn't intervened in my life. Prayer. Prayer is simply communicating with God. Talking, communicating. True communication goes both ways. Right now you're getting preaching. It's coming one way. But when we talk later, there needs to be listening, talking, communication. We need to listen to the Lord more than we talk to him. And that's really hard sometimes, isn't it? Because how many of you like to fill any silence that's around? You know, you cannot stand. You know, you have to put something in there. You have to say something. If somebody's quiet, you know, just do this sometimes. Just have a little test with somebody that you're driving with. Get in the car. It might say hi or something. Get in the car and then just don't say anything. See what they do. They'll start talking. They'll think you're mad at them. You know what? We need to be listening to the Lord. Lord, I've been talking enough. Some of you say, yes, Sam, you have been talking enough. Anyways, we need to listen. Prayer. Ask him to wake us up, to wake me up. Invite the Holy Spirit. You do this first. Then you also invite the Holy Spirit to take control. Many times we want to skip over that step of repentance. We say, Lord, Holy Spirit, please control me. Please guide me. But we haven't even repented. We haven't even really woken up yet. Wake us up. Give us a hunger. Invite the Holy Spirit to take control. Stay awake. The temptation is to go back to sleep. Wake up for a short moment. Maybe this has meant something to you this morning. Maybe you've heard the Lord talking to you this morning that you need to wake up. Don't let it just be an acknowledgement. Follow up on this throughout the week. Keep asking him to wake us up. Wake you us up individually, but also collectively. Invite the Holy Spirit to take control. Stay awake by walking in his light, his spirit, and in his wisdom, the word. Enjoy his presence. Worship and praise him. Receive his grace, his blessing, his love. You know, have you noticed, and I'm not necessarily talking here, and this is absolutely not anything about our worship leader or who's leading or who isn't leading or anything. This is in the whole body. It doesn't matter where you go. They could be really, really good. I've heard really, really good worship that didn't feel his presence. You could be a really good musician. Has nothing to do with God's presence. I feel God's presence in our worship, but we could feel a lot more. We can experience a lot more. We could enjoy it a lot more if we were awake. It's not about our feelings. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying you have to feel something. But I'll tell you what, when you're in God's presence, you feel something. I know I do. When I'm in God's presence, I can't stop crying. I just start weeping and weeping. And there's been people before that have gone, what's wrong? Are you okay? Yes! I'm okay. I'm better than okay. If you've never had that experience, you are missing out big time. If you've never experienced the presence of the Lord to where you can't control yourself anymore because he's in charge, and guess what? He won't do anything bad with you like the enemy does. I've experienced his presence in such an incredible way to where I'm not in charge anymore. He is.
He's always gentle. It's always so awesome. And he's got so much more than that for us. Yeah, when we're in his presence, we will know it. We will know it. And I'm not saying we are not in his presence. We're always in his presence. But I'm talking about this manifest presence because we've woken up. Because guess what? My wife can walk in the room. If I'm sleeping, I'm not experiencing her presence. I'm sleeping. And the Lord is saying, I'm here, but you're asleep. You don't even know I'm here. My glory is going to depart if you don't wake up. So, Father, I pray today, we request that you wake us up. Wake us up, Lord. Don't let us stay asleep. Don't let us miss this opportunity that you are giving the church in this region, in the whole North State, to wake up. Cleanse our hearts. Forgive us from sin. Expose the sin with your light so that we can repent of it. It's not exposing it to embarrass us. It's exposing it so we can get it out. We can repent. We can turn from it. We can start walking in your Spirit together and individually as well. Wake us up. Lord, there's so many areas that we are fearful. If we were awake, we wouldn't be fearful. We'd have the power of your Holy Spirit. For you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So once again this morning we ask, and I ask for each person here as we go through this week, that you will begin that process of waking us up. And Lord, you're so gentle about it. You're so good. And we thank you for that. We thank you for your presence. We also, though, Lord, thank you for your patience with us, your mercy. But you said that that's not going to last forever. There is coming the day when you're going to say, okay, that's enough. And Lord, you've warned us. You warn us in your scripture, in the word, all the time. So Lord, help us to hear you and respond. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Blessing over the bread. Baruch atah Adonai. Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Amen. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam. Borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. Amen. Yivarech Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha ve'hunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar HaShalom, the name of Yeshua our Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Amen. I want to say one more thing before we leave. I'm going to be back in the nursery, and if you would like to pray about anything going on in your life, I don't want people to come back and just talk today. I'm going to request maybe that Dell and Sunshine And Chris joined me back there too. And you don't have to stay long, but just to pray for anybody who wants to come back and pray with us. Pray about maybe God doing something in your life. Maybe you need to wake up and you'd like prayer for that. So, sorry I won't get to talk to you very much afterwards, but I just felt led of the Lord to be available for prayer today.